We are recording.
We need a beer sponsor.
We are not supposed to drink alcohol on a radio show because that is not allowed according to California law.
But it's a podcast. Yeah, you keep reminding me it's not broadcasted.
It's a podcast. You're right, actually.
So
I was just kidding.
Tonight we're drinking Scrimshaw.
Other people on podcasts smoke stuff. Like,
well, I don't.
Ugh. Yeah.
You know, when I was a teenager, I actually was a security guard at a radio station. They were a bunch of wild hippies.
How much did they pay per hour?
Oh, I worked for the building. I got paid very little. I don't remember. I mean, I literally was 18.
So there was no minimum wage during that time.
Yeah, I was doing all right. But these radio in Marin, KTIM, famous San Rafael radio station.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Gone now. Yeah. But they would be up in the booth, naked, smoking dope, drinking booze.
Wild times. OMG. And Austin is holding a bottle of beer. I'm drinking
Scrimshaw made in Fort Bragg, California.
Oh, nice.
And I have to say, I don't like a lot of beers, but I'm liking this beer.
Hang on, Fort Bragg? But there are two Fort Braggs in the U.S., right? One at the
Correct.
East Coast.
Well, one is, I believe the name has been changed now, because Bragg was a Confederate traitorous general against the United States, but I was born in Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Yeah, I know Fort Bragg because that's where the division of the PSYOP of the U.S.
Yes.
PSYOP
yes.
is based.
That's our
former battalion that we worked together when I was at PSYOP in the German Bundeswehr.
That's where Army Airborne is trained.
Oh, nice.
That's my father was stationed there. He was airborne, and I was born there. There's another Fort Bragg on the coast of California, about maybe 2 hours north of the Bay Area, and it's a little town, and I don't know if, and name, I believe for the same guy, so there might be some discussion about changing its name. But anyway, yeah, that's where this beer comes from, and it still says Fort Bragg on the bottle, so.
Okay, Austin, I think we should start. This is Yanks and Krauts, episode number 9.
I have some movie recommendations.
What do you recommend this week, Austin?
Paper Moon, made in 1973. It's a funny, charming film with Ryan O'Neal.
Oh, my.
And Ryan's actual daughter, his 8-year-old daughter, Tatum O'Neal, is in the film. And Tatum ended up being the youngest person to ever win an Academy Award. And she still holds that distinction. Her performance alone makes this movie worth watching.
Wow. What's the movie about?
It's about a con artist named Moses Prey. Great name. Mo Prey. Mo. It's about a con artist.
Artist is also very good. I mean, we probably speak about a con artist soon, right?
No, probably not.
Okay.
That's all. It's about a con artist named Moses Prey. You know, con artist actually comes from the word confidence man?
No.
That's what a con artist, they get your confidence and then they take your money.
Oh.
That's where the term comes from.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
So anyway, it's about a con artist named Moses Prey, who along with his 9-year-old con artist daughter, Addie, sells overpriced Bibles to vulnerable widows. They go across the country pretending to be Christians.
Austin, come on. That sounds very familiar
what,
this
to
week.
What? What does that sound familiar?
I mean, Donald Trump selling Bibles.
No. Nothing to do. I was not thinking that at all. There is no connection between this great old film and the former president, Donald Trump. It is just a good, classic, entertaining movie. It has nothing to do with politics. I'm just feeling nostalgic for old movies this week and simpler days.
Okay, let's listen to a sound clip from the movie.
Yes?
Afternoon, ma'am. I was wondering if Mr. Bates might be at home.
Mr. Bates is dead. He died over a week ago.
Oh, you mean he passed over, ma'am? Well, I was just talking to him not less than a month ago.
What was it you wanted?
Well, my name is Prey, Kansas Bible Company. I'm just here to deliver this Bible that Mr. Bates ordered.
Bible?
Who is it? What's the trouble?
Something about Benjamin buying a Bible.
Bible? What kind of Bible?
He said he talked to Benjamin less than a month ago.
Well, I'm not exactly sure of the dates, ma'am.
Well, I don't see how. Benjamin didn't go nowhere near that shop for more than a month before he died.
Well, I may be a little mixed up on the dates.
What company you say you're from?
The Kansas Bible Company out of Wichita.
Kansas Bible Company. I ain't never heard of no Kansas Bible Company.
Daddy, can't we go now? I want to get to church and pray for Mama.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure we can, honey. Daddy was just fixing to leave. This here is my little girl. It's just the two of us now.
My mama's gone to the Lord.
Oh, so is poor Mr. Bates, honey. I'll just give you back his dollar deposit, and you let us know if there's anything we can do.
Hold on there. Wait one damn minute. He actually done ordered a Bible, huh?
He sure did. Here it is, right here in gold, for somebody named Marie.
That's her. She's Marie.
Oh, she sure did mean a lot to him. He especially had me get the deluxe edition.
How much to keep this here book?
Oh, well, that one is the...
It's a $12 one, Daddy.
$12?
$12. Oh, yeah, well, honey, we have to have a little goodness in our hearts, I mean, considering the circumstances.
Never mind the circumstances. And if it'll make that woman happy, I'll take it.
What a wonderful movie with a Ryan O'Neill. He died last year, December 8th. He's a great actor. Great actor.
He was really good.
Yeah. Love Story.
Yes. That was a
one of his, his biggest success.
Was that filmed in San Francisco as well? I think it might have been. Yeah, so Love Story. So,
and Austin, no Trump connection? Come on. You're
none whatsoever, like I said.
But you said you had movie recommendations. Any others?
Yes, actually. I dialed up Elmer Gantry. I was just into classic movies this week, looking for some quality stuff that I was nostalgic for. Elmer Gantry, a well-done film, well-acted. It's got Burt Lancaster in it. He is awesome.
And tell me about the story.
This one was made in 1960. It won 3 Academy Awards. Burt Lancaster won for the Best Actor, portraying Gantry. Shirley Jones won for Best Supporting Actress. Some people might be old enough to remember Shirley Jones from The Partridge Family. She played the mom. You probably don't know the story. It didn't make
that
it to
Germany.
That
was a very famous TV series over here in the U.S., right?
Yeah, I don't think it made it to Germany. I don't know if it was good enough.
I think it was on Germany, but on some smaller cable channels later.
So this was a young Shirley Jones in this film. So she won the award for Best Supporting Actress, and the film won the Academy for Best Writing. It's one of those formative American films. People see it as a revealing of American culture. It looks at the ways Americans are vulnerable.
Austin, tell me more about the story of the movie.
So this one's about a con artist who pretends to be religious so he can join a traveling Bible revival show. You know, the guy's under the tent. He is really trying to have sex with Sister Sharon Falconer. She's the one who runs the show. And he wants to steal her money, and he wants to steal from the gullible believers that come to her prayer meetings. If you read any of the reviews or commentary from the time, they say that Gantry is a hedonist. Hedonism, as far as I understand it, is a type of sociopathy or narcissism.
Okay, now I got you. You probably thought about this because former President Donald Trump is currently selling Bibles for $60 a piece.
I swear there is no connection. I was thinking about how we can learn so much about American culture from film.
Why should I believe you, man?
Especially old film, by the way. All these new action superhero movies, what do they say about American culture? I mean, we just live in a fantasy.
I have a clip from Elmer Gantry.
Elmer Gantry is coming!
Elmer Gantry is an all-American boy. He's interested in money, sex, and religion.
Who is this Elmer Gantry? And what do you really know about him? His background, his reputation. What does he want? Money? My job? You? What?
Bill.
In 1917, Mr. Gantry was expelled from a theological seminary in Kansas for seducing a Miss Lula Baines, the deacon's daughter, in the church where he had that day delivered a Christmas sermon.
What the hell's the big idea?
Elmer.
You really think I want to sit still for a shakedown?
Baby, how could I put
the
squeeze on you?
The old badger game, huh?
Who's going to take the word of a $5 hooker against Elmer Gantry? I only wanted to see you for...
For what?
Well, for...
For what?
What do you think will get you into God's own glorious heaven? This ace of spades? Your bank book? Or this pledge to be a good Christian?
Hey, Marcus.
What?
You know what imagery I think of when I hear the term hedonism?
Do you think of a scene from one of these old classic movies?
No, no. I think of that video of Donald Trump dancing with Jeffrey Epstein.
So this is really all about Trump, right? Remember when he held the Bible up upside down at St. John's Church across from the White House on Lafayette Square? He had troops push all the protesters away so he could go to the church. I remember that day. It was insane.
It actually was pretty brutal. I mean, they had some helicopters fly low, you know, with these, you know, gale force or actually hurricane force winds. And I think they used gas. And yeah, he wanted to go to church so badly. Our president, I place my hand over my heart when I say this, wanted to go to church so badly, he abused those protesters to do it. He didn't even know the church was closed. But no, my thinking about these Bible hucksters in these old movies is just a coincidence.
Yes.
I do believe, though, that film and books, as I keep saying, this is part of our education. This is our culture caught on film.
So hang on, you don't want to talk about former President Trump selling Bibles?
Not at all. We can move on. Let's do a quick roundup today. It's Easter. Happy Easter, everybody.
Yeah.
Marcus, how is Pravda social stock doing?
So you mean Truth Social, Austin. At the close of Friday, the stock was trading at around $60, but experts think it could drop all the way to $2 once people figure out they aren't going to get much real value from this company. Next.
Ronna McDaniel was recently replaced as chair of the Republican National Committee by former President Trump's daughter-in-law, Lara Trump. McDaniel was chair of the Republican Party for about 7 years. She was a diehard Trumper, an election denier, all in with the former president. The party lost several House and Senate seats and many lower-level offices during the past 6 years or so. They lost the presidency to the current president, Joseph Biden. Many think that Trump also wanted a family member in control of the RNC money, since he appears to be using it to pay his legal bills. She has gone back and forth saying that they would not do that, and then she says, well, his supporters would want them to do that. It's a little unclear what they're actually doing, but he put his daughter-in-law, whose only political experience was by being a member of the Trump family for the last few years, in charge of the RNC. Anyway, Laura Trump... by the way, we don't know what her salary is, but Ronna McDaniel was drawing over $400,000. And under her tenure, the amount went up. I think it doubled under her tenure. So at minimum, Laura Trump probably is making a $500,000 salary by being in one of these political positions. I don't know if you knew this. He used to pay all of these wives and girlfriends to like do introductions and stuff at speeches. And they would pay them like $50,000-$60,000 for like 30 seconds just to introduce. So basically, he's got his family on the payroll. Anyway, after being fired by Donald Trump, Ronna McDaniel was briefly hired by NBC Media and then let go after a united resistance from many of their on-air personalities, especially some of the most popular hosts on MSNBC. We could point out that two of the hosts in particular that came out against her are actually Republicans. Those hosts are Joe Scarborough and Nicole Wallace. Nicole Wallace worked for President Bush, and Joe Scarborough was a Republican congressman from Florida. The complaint against McDaniel that all of these hosts seemed to have was that she continues to tell the fundamental lie that the 2020 election was stolen.
And is it true, Austin, that Trump made Ronna McDaniel change her name?
This is the insidiousness of this person. And again, I'm getting so tired of, but I think for a few months we have to really worry about this. He insisted she change her name. She comes from a long line of Republicans named Romney. Her uncle is Senator Mitt Romney, who ran for president.
And it's interesting that you bring up Mitt Romney's opposition to former President Trump, as he's been quite vocal about his disagreements with Trump on multiple fronts. Romney has criticized Trump for not being a true conservative, for his lack of character, and for posing a threat to American democracy. Romney was the only Republican senator to vote to convict Trump in both of his impeachment trials, which shows his commitment to principle over party loyalty.
And Romney's devoutly religious. He is a truly religious person.
A Mormon, right?
So like many Mormons, he did do his missionary work. My criticism was he went to France. So he wasn't like someplace really hard to be. So I don't know. How do you say hello or Mormons in French? Ding dong.
I mean, we have these Mormons. We had the Mormons in Germany as well, and their missionary tours, and they were ringing doorbells and standing in front of you with in their nice suits, and you know.
No, I got to ask a question. If you had to do missionary work, would it be in Germany or in France?
Of course, France. Southern France, to be precise, Northern France,
so
but Southern France.
It could have been harder if you'd come to Germany.
Definitely. So has Ronna McDaniel ever used her maiden name?
Absolutely. Until Trump, she was, and you know, I remember this used to just roll off people's tongues, Ronna Romney McDaniel. Trump made her drop that name because it reminded him of her uncle.
What a control freak.
Yeah, Marcus, do you know how long she lasted at NBC?
Just a few days, probably.
She lasted about a half a Scaramucci.
Oh, a unit of time named after former Trump communications secretary Anthony Scaramucci. He was appointed to the position in the Trump administration, took the office a few days later, then was fired only 6 days after that for criticizing other members of the Trump administration. That was a cool stunt.
Yeah, I think he was caught on a hot mic basically calling him idiot. Which
he's a professional.
I don't know if we should be laughing, but if you only made a choice for this next election based upon who like quit. Anyway, so Scaramucci is 11 days. That's a mooch or a Scaramucci. Before we leave this topic, I need to tell you the new RNC chair, Lara Bush, she just released a country music single the same day Beyonce did. She's going head-to-head with Beyonce for country music queen.
Excuse me?
Yeah. She's a singer, too.
Oh.
I'm not making this up. She will be known as the Trump that broke auto-tune.
And we're not going to play a sound clip here. Next topic, Trump gag order. And this story, Austin, also sounds very familiar. A tune that we see with Trump over and over again, right?
Yeah, a judge from one of Trump's many cases, actually, I think his name's John Mershon or Juan Mershon, has forbidden Trump's criticizing witnesses or peripherally threatening court employees. Trump immediately, like I think it was the same afternoon, identified the judge's daughter, and this is a quote, as a rabid Trump hater. Now, the problem is not all of Trump's followers are reasonable, peaceful folks, and now they have a new target for their vitriol and possible violence.
Trump also reposted a video of a Trump supporter driving a pickup with a life-sized Photoshop image of President Biden hogtied in the bed of the trunk.
What's amazing to me is it's such a badly photoshopped photo to begin with. But yeah, it's threatening, it's violent, it makes him look like a kidnapped victim. I actually heard from some black reporters that, you know, there is a history in this country of black men being towed behind pickup trucks or thrown in the back of a pickup truck as they were being taken to be lynched. So there's some people that see this as suggesting real violence.
The image of the hogtied President Biden is drawing a lot of anger. You just said it. But Trump seems to be furthering, as he has always done. He's furthering an atmosphere of potential violence.
And people in a circle, you know, like I've been listening to some MAGA media, and they're trying to dismiss these behaviors, and they always use whataboutism. You know, they claim that, oh, there are so many Democrats who are violent and threatening. I mean, I know liberals, and they might, you know, say something that I think is disrespectful of the presidency, even a former president, but they don't post it. They're not so brazen. It's you know, we live in a time when people have just made it okay to put all of this stuff out in the public. Anyway, usually what I see on the liberal side is someone saying something or posting something that evokes ridicule. I almost never see violence.
And then, Austin, we saw some pictures from Baltimore this week that was really shocking.
I got a connection to the news here. And again, this
goes back. We're talking about the bridge.
The bridge. Yeah, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is actually not far from Fort McHenry, where the Star-Spangled Banner, the flag, was flying when Francis Scott Key, the poet, saw it and wrote what became our national anthem. Mm-hmm. By the way, a lot of these patriots don't realize that it's a four-stanza poem. We only sing the first stanza. I'm afraid if they knew the whole thing, they'd want to sing the whole thing. I'm going to just tell you my favorite stanza, and I don't know it word for word, but it's the one where the question is asked, where's the enemy? Where are those, that enemy, that vaunted mass that threatened us? And then the line essentially is, we've washed away their footprints from our beaches with their blood. That's freaking awesome.
And is it really true that conservative or right-wing media is trying to blame the collapse of that bridge
to
liberals?
It is crazy. I've heard this now from several outlets,
okay,
including Fox, which is supposed to be a little more mainstream. They're blaming diversity, inclusion, and equity, what they call DIE. They're trying to imply that many Black Baltimore and Maryland officials, including the governor, are somehow responsible, and especially they're trying to blame Secretary Peter Buttigieg, saying that these people were elected or appointed for their identities as people of color or for being gay and not for their qualifications. And it's pretty ugly and insidious.
What about the shipbuilder? I heard the ship lost power, or the captain or the harbor pilot. Are they responsible somehow, or who built the bridge that so we all could see it quickly collapsed?
Yeah, you would think those would be the logical questions. They're trying to, I mean, it is crazy land. You know, literally they're asking things like, what did Pete Buttigieg have to do with this bridge collapsing? He is not qualified. That's like 20 steps away from the bridge. You know, I guess if the people on the ship or who built the bridge, I guess if they were gay or Black or Latino, MAGA would blame them. But I'm pretty sure the bridge was mostly engineered and built by a bunch of white guys. It was built in 1977 in Baltimore. Let me say this. MAGA needs to knock this crap off. Two men were found dead in a vehicle under the bridge. Four are still missing. The missing are immigrant workers who are doing hard, dirty road work, who are having taxes taken from their paychecks, and who were probably not filing tax returns, as many immigrants don't do, so paying more than their fair share. They were innocent of this accident, and now they have been killed. And by the way, MAGA politicians don't want to replace this bridge with government money either, despite how much it hurts the economy and the local community to not have it. This is the way it works. There will be lawsuits and arguing, and money for this bridge is not coming from an insurance company, the shipbuilder, or the shipping company for a long time. So government, that government Republicans hate so much, that government MAGA wants to overthrow, will step in to make life bearable for the people and the businesses of Baltimore. And if you buy crap from Walmart, that crap comes from China on a ship through a harbor like Baltimore's. And if Democrats had their way, there would have been regulations that would have required more safety measures. Barriers to protect the bridge, for instance. Maybe a shipping company should be required to pay for enough tugboats to stop a runaway ship. Clearly, if the ship got away from the tugs or was too big to stop, the number of tugs was not enough. So that is how it goes. Regulations to mitigate accidents or prevent disasters, or free market capitalism that will do its best to make sure the owners of these shipping firms and shipbuilders don't pay what they owe to fix this problem, or to the families of the dead. I've already heard that the insurance companies involved will likely, very soon, sue to limit their liability. as insurance companies always do, and never mind what is happening to the environment down there. I side with reasonable regulation more than I do with chaos and greed.
That was a good speech for Easter. Thank you so much, Pastor Austin.
You calling me pastor because I'm drinking, I'm drinking pasteurized beer. Wait, I'm trying to.
Because it was such kind of. I had that religious.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm not good enough to be one of those preachers. There are some good ones. Anyway, so it's Easter. Happy Easter, everybody. Hey, before we go, Marcus, I was thinking about those actors, Ryan O'Neill and Burt Lancaster from Paper Moon and Elmer Gantry.
What?
I was thinking that either of them, or the characters they played, these were sexy men. I mean, what we used to call real men. People that people would think about them longingly. They were attractive and clever and quick-witted. They were intriguing human beings. And Burt Lancaster, I mean, when I was a kid, I believed that he really could knock somebody out with one punch.
Austin.
Look, I told you, Trump has nothing in common with these guys.
I'm wondering what one or two of your most favored Bible verses are.
Well,
and why.
I wouldn't want to get into it because to me that's very personal. The Bible means a lot to me, but I don't want to get into specifics.
Even to cite a verse that you like.
No, I don't want to do that.
Old Testament guy or a New Testament guy?
Probably equal.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend, Lee Greenwood, who doesn't love his song, God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again.